I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH. My dad, Pastor Salem, devoted his life to Jesus. His desire through the Christian Worship Hour was to glorify and honor God, help people come to know Jesus, and comfort God's people. We invite you to share our broadcast with your family and friends. We are grateful for your prayers for this ministry and the uplifting letters and notes sent to us. From a recent comment on our website, I just discovered CWH a month ago. Pastor Salem's sermons are so helpful for me, and they encourage me to go on each week. I'm going to use your website to find and listen to your other sermons and devotionals. Thank you so much. We hope today's message titled, I Walk with the King, will be of assurance to you as Pastor urges us to let Jesus lead and guide our steps as we walk hand in hand with Him. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And just time to rejoice and all be together all over the world. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And all of you who trust Jesus, and everybody can trust Him if you want to. Yeah, if you reject Him, we just pray for you, poor dear people. You need to have Jesus. And all of those who know the Lord, we're going to be together in heaven. Today, now, we're gathered all over the world, but our focal point is at the foot of Jesus. And so we're praying to Him, we're worshiping Him, but someday we're going to see Him face to face. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see Him in all of His glory, and won't that be something? So join the crowd, join the group, and as we worship the Lord. We're looking at Psalm 116 today. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. He has brought low, and He has helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Dear Heavenly Father, we called on Your name, and You never failed us. We were in trouble. We were sinking in the sinking sand of sin, and we were without hope and without help until we called upon You. And You heard our call, and You rescued us. You set our feet on the solid rock, and we're on our way rejoicing, and someday we're going to see and personally see and thank You. And oh, we're so anxious for that day. But until then, dear Lord, we want to win as many, help as many as we can to come to You, to receive You, and to join our company, the company of the blessed, the people of God. So this is Your service, Lord. Just take it and use it in any way and every way You like. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to be talking today about walking with Jesus, walking with the King. And so Jan's going to sing, The King and I. So God bless you, Jan.
Road together.
Well, thank you, Jan, and that happens to be exactly what I'm going to preach about. The King and I walking with the King, Jesus. And you, I tell you, friends, listen to me. You don't walk hand in hand with him. He'll be in your very heart and soul. He says, I stand at the door and knock. I want to come into your life. Stand at the door and the knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You said, just Jesus, come into my heart. I want you in my heart. And confess your sins. Just tell him you're a sinner. Don't tell him all your sins because that'll take forever if you're like I am. And so you just say, just forgive me for my sins. And you can walk with the King. He's within us. And as we winneth within us all the way through life and all the way through death and through the pearly gates, and then we'll be with him face to face forever and ever. Oh, the glorious gospel. I love to preach the good news of the gospel. Well, we got some letters. Always get some nice letters. So let's look at some of them. Here's here in South Dakota. She says, here, you are the one who tells us to go to our church also. I'd stopped attending my church services for some foolish reason I don't even remember. At your urging, though, I do go and enjoy going to my church services. And I thought, you know, I've been preaching. I'm in my 75th year. And, oh, I've seen so many different things. And I've seen this over and over. Here she says, I quit church. I stopped attending. She doesn't remember what she quit for. See, God bless her soul. But that's the way most of them. She says, I quit my service some foolish reason, but I don't even remember what it was. I don't know how many of you folks who you got in a huff over some dumb thing. And so you just ask God to forgive you. And go and get back there and get back into that church where they're preaching the gospel. And don't go to church to see what you can get. You go to the church to see what you can do, what you can give. And that because the church is an institution of God. It's not something man-made. God instituted the government, and he instituted the home, and he instituted the church. And so you get back. And it isn't perfect, and it won't be till it gets to heaven. And I talk to people and says, oh, I wouldn't join your church because there's just so many hypocrites in there. And I had a stock answer for them. I said, why don't you join? We'll have another hypocrite. See, well, I didn't get many of them, but at least I told them the message. So here she is going to church. Isn't that nice? Here's Elba, Alabama. I have my DVD. It was wonderful. Shared it with my family. This donation for shipping are to cover anyone who can't afford one of the DVDs. And so she's talking here about Heart of the Shepherd. And it's a one-hour move film, and it's an evangelistic film, and it emphasizes accepting Jesus. And it tells about a 10-year-old boy. I was that boy, accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. That's what I'm preaching today. You got to have Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father. Nobody goes to heaven but by me, through me. I'm the door, Jesus said. If any man enter in and out, then he can find pasture and he find life. Jesus is the way. And so just have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Let's see. Here's one. St. Louis Park, Minnesota. The letters make us feel closer to others, like we're hearing from Christian friends along with you and your staff. I hope a lot of people pass them on to someone who needs to find God and his salvation through the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. And so they are like the letters. And I got one letter said maybe they kind of intimated that they maybe thought maybe they'll should have more letters and less sermon. But that didn't go very far. I'm telling you, because I like to preach, and I don't want to cut my preaching time down. But these letters are important. It's a family. And one lady wrote and said, I wanted to ask some of those questions myself, but I didn't have the nerve. Well, see, just listen in, and you'll see what people are thinking, asking. Here's Knoxville, Iowa. Just want to thank you for your down-to-earth sermons on Sunday. My 95-year-old mom and I watch you every Sunday. She just finished radiation therapy, and without your messages every Sunday, she says she wouldn't have made it through 35 treatments. And so here she is, 94 years old. She has 35 treatments, and she got through it because Jesus helped her. And we worshiped with her, see, and we talked about Jesus, how that he gives us strength, and he's our good shepherd, and he guides the way. And he says, and like Paul writes in Philippians, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He gives us strength day by day, not a month ahead of time or a day ahead of time, but when we need it, there it is. And this dear mother here, 94 years old, 35 treatments, trusting Jesus, he's giving her strength. And we had a part in it. And doesn't that make us rejoice? And all of you that are praying and all of you that are giving, you had a part in it too. It's a team effort. We couldn't do it without you being with us and guided by the Holy Spirit. East Grand Forks, Minnesota. We live at Good Samaritan Assisted Living, where we have church services every week with different pastors. We have Old Faithful Pastor Salem every Sunday morning. Thank you for preaching what we need to hear. And so, just preach that Bible. You know, I had a professor in seminary, 1940. I'm not from a different generation. I'm from a different century. And Dr. Robert L. Moyer, we called him Uncle Bob, and he taught us over and over through our heads. He taught us a couple things. He taught us that the Word of God is from God. And he used to say, where God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. And then he always told us, preach the Word. Preach the Bible. People want to hear the Bible. And that's what God is going to bless, is the Word of God. It's the Word of the Holy, the Living God. Preach the Bible. And I've been in the preaching now in my 75th year, and thank God I always preach the Bible. I made a lot of mistakes and blunders, believe you me, brother, sister, but I always preach that Bible. And that's where the power is. And I tell you, young pastors, when you preach the Bible, you can preach with authority. You can get in that pulpit and you don't have to say, I hope so, or it could be, or I might, or I'm hoping, and whatever. You say, thus saith the Lord, period, bang. That's the way to do it. That's where the power is. East Grand Forks, Minnesota. Here's Newport, Oregon. We requested three of your Heart of a Shepherd DVDs. Oh, we should have asked for more. We were blessed in watching it and then passed our three on to our future folks, fortunate folks. Others would like it too, so please send five more. Now, that's what we hope all of you will do. All of you be missionaries and get these films and pass them out and give them to friends. There are evangelical films on how to come to Jesus. People coming to Jesus, it's bedrock. It's being born again. And nothing else counts until you're born again. You must be born again. And so you say, well, what do they cost? They cost whatever you can send. If you just send a gift. If you don't have anything, send that. If you promise to give it to a friend, maybe you don't. Maybe you have a neighbor, and you don't know if he doesn't go to church, and you don't know if he knows the Lord. Now you get this film, and you tell him this is about a farm boy, and he's 97 years old now, and he tries to preach every Sunday, and you can listen to him. But here's a film about his life, and listen to him, and he says, "Oh, he's a farm boy, huh? Well, let's see what he's got to say." And then we'll preach the gospel and the Holy Spirit will take it and touch his heart and bring him to the Lord. So boy, we'll have to have your help. So just write to us. If you don't have anything, you got a neighbor you want to give it to and you'll give them to us, we'll send it free. How can you beat that? And we're going to do that till we go broke. And then we'll probably, I don't know, we'll have to talk to the Lord about it. But he'll take care of it. And so then this they're taking five of them. Here's Butler, Missouri. My neighbor and I listen to you every Sunday. Thank you again. And I put that letter in because he has his neighbor come and they sit together and visit and then they watch the service. And we get a lot of letters of people that they dress up for church and they get their Bible and they have friends come over. And then some of the retirement homes, a lot of them will get together and they watch that and they have church together. And then when you have somebody other with you, it's just all the better, see? And so I put that in Butler, Missouri. Oh, I had to have this one because look where it's from. Salem, South Dakota, Salem. But look, listen to the letter. I am a Vietnam veteran. I carry a lot of sadness. I just wanted to cry. What has he gone through? I am a Vietnam veteran. I carry a lot of sadness. As I watch the Christian worship hour, I have tears flow down my cheeks. But I feel God's comfort through your blessed worship hour. We are blessed to have your worship hour on TV. Thank you, Pastor. God's blessings to you and your church, sincerely. And here is a dear brother, and he served America, served our country, way off in Vietnam, and he's still suffering from it after all those years, and he's looking to Jesus. And when we come on and we're talking about Jesus all the time, and we're talking about the Word of God, and he's finding strength, and he's getting that because the Holy Spirit is there. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and he blesses people. He applies it to their hearts. And here's a man who's hurting, and he's comforting him. Next door, the next guy might be watching, and he's an old sinner, and he's tougher than an old owl, just as tough and ugly, and he doesn't have anything to do with anything. The Holy Spirit convicts him, and he convicts him of his sin. He gets mad. He doesn't like what the preacher says, and he gets mad, but he's always thinking. I read about one man, and he went had a sermon, and he heard about the Lord, and how that the Lord is just to need to come to Jesus, and how that it just life may be go end in any minute, God may take you home any minute, and so you need to. And he thought about it, and he kept thinking about it, and sure enough, he came to the Lord. So sometimes God comforts, sometimes he afflicts, sometimes he corrects, sometimes he addresses, sometimes he comforts. That's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Totally out of our hands. We just deliver the goods. God takes us from there. And so I hope that you'll all help us with this work, because I'm going to tell you something. Our only source of income is from God's people. We're not supported by any denomination or corporation or organization. It's God's people. So we just tell people, now this is what you have. This is the way we do it. And you just think about it and you ask God if you should help us. And if he says yes, then you ask him how much. And then you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us, and we'll use that money to pay our bills and carry it on. And here's something you can do. It's just a miracle. You can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com, anywhere in the world. And you can send a gift and you can use your currency for your country. It'll come in American currency and we'll pay the bills. And so we need to have your help. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh boy. What if we send him a lot of money and what'll he do? What'll he get a sports car? And I don't even know the names of them, but they got some fancy names. So I'd be 97 years old and I'd get a sports car. Do you think I'd do that? Well, I can't do that, and I'll tell you why. Because we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and they go through every penny, what we receive and how do we spend it. And I couldn't get away with some money if I wanted to, but I'd never do that. I go with a walker. What am I going to do with a bunch of money? I'm just going to send out the gospel. And so you help us. Help us the best you can. And, you know, Paul, James says, you have not because you ask not, so you need to ask. And all of you folks on our shortwave radio, let me give it again to you. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002. It's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. And now I'm going to pray. Then Jan's going to play. And you give as God leads. And if you do that, we'll carry out his will. We'll have enough to do everything He wants us to do. So, dear Lord, thank You for Your people all over the world who help support this wonderful ministry through giving and praying. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Matthew chapter 4, so if you have Bibles, you can turn to that. And while you're turning to that, I forgot to mention something very important, and that is we have a little paper called The New Song, and it has a Bible study in it every month. And this month, it's going to be Almost a Christian. And I know what you're saying right away. Boy, I know who that is. That's my neighbor next door. He sure isn't a Christian. I don't even, almost. Well, I'm going to tell you what his name is. His name is Cornelius. Oh, yes, that's my neighbor's name, Cornelius. And he lived 2,000 years ago. Uh-oh. Well, anyway, let me get that right now. Let's put that back on the screen. It's box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Because I know you're going to love it. And it's a little paper. And just a new song, we'll send it to you. Now, Matthew chapter 4, beginning with the 18th verse. And then this is about Jesus, and he's walking by the seaside. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. And so we're going to pray now. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so we're praying for the persecuted church in Mexico. And people are dying in Mexico because of their faith, if you can believe it. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this passage where the dear Lord Jesus walks along and he calls these people to follow him. And they left their nets, they left their business, and they followed him. And dear Lord, help us. We maybe don't have to follow or leave our business, but help us to leave a lot of things, maybe a lot of things we're doing that's a waste of time. Time that we should be giving to you, worshiping you and helping others and telling others about the wonderful Jesus. And so we're just praying that as these brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and how they just came to follow you, and Andrew also, and Andrew got his brother. So help us, Lord, to be very active in serving you. And when you call us, help us say yes. Help us never to say no to you, dear God. And dear Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Mexico in the persecuted church. They're not only being tormented, not only losing their homes and having their churches burned down, but some are being put to death because of their faith, not because of some evil deeds, but because they stood up for Jesus. And they could have renounced Jesus. They could say that Jesus is not Lord. I renounce Jesus. I do have no part with Jesus. And they refuse to do it. They know they love you and they'll die for it. And oh, we're just so encouraged. And help them to know that they're encouragement to us. When we see our brothers and sisters, they're part of our family. They're part of our heritage. They're all belongs together. and they are dying for you. And Lord, we're not dying for you, at least in the United States and many parts of the world. We have an easy life. And so bless them. Help them to know we think about them and pray for them. Now bless us in our service today, Lord. May all we do and say honor the name of Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Melissa's going to sing before the sermon today. Were you there? And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to
Melissa, and we were there. Every one of us was there. We were there when they nailed him to the cross, and we were there because our sins put him there. I read about a man, and he was dreaming, and in this dream, they were crucifying Jesus, and they were driving the nails through his hands. And when the soldier was there with those big spikes driving that nail, and the man's in his dream, he couldn't stand it any longer. He says, "Stop." And the man turned, and the centurion turned around, and it was the man himself. He was driving the nails. And I'm going to tell you, if it hadn't been for our sins, he never would have had to go to the cross. Jesus didn't have any sins of his own. He's the only perfect person who ever lived. And that wonderful Savior took our sins, and we put him on the cross. Were you there? You bet we were. But we were there when they raised him from the tomb. And when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead from the tomb, we were with Jesus too. And we were raised with him. And that means we have eternal life. And we may die physically, but we are going to have that great resurrection day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes, you bet we'll be there. We are tied with Jesus. And we're raised with Jesus. That's the gospel. Isn't it glorious? And so now this wonderful Savior gave himself for us. We walk with him. And Paul had a vision of Jesus in Revelation 19, verse 26. And when he saw Jesus, he says, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Paul walked with that Lord of Lords, King of Kings. I walk with the King. I've been with the King for 87 years. 87 years ago, I accepted Jesus. Sometimes my walk hasn't been very good and I've drifted off, but he always came after me and always brought me back. Sometimes he has to speak to me, and sometimes he has to talk to me, and sometimes he has to put me in hard places to make me stop and to turn to get my eyes on him. I wander away, but I walk with him, and he never leaves me or forsakes me. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus walks with us now, and he is our King because, well, that starts the minute we're saved. The minute we are born again, the minute we accept Jesus, he becomes our companion. And as he told the disciples, he said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He'll say, I'll be with you to the end of the age. And sometimes we get letters from people and they're lonely and nobody comes to see them. And oh, it's sad to say. Some have children in the town that don't get around to see mom and dad. And that's terrible. And God wake them up. You always know that you have this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And when we lean upon him and trust in him, he will take away our sins. And so we have to be careful because we're told in the scriptures that whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all, James 2, verse 10. And so maybe we haven't killed anybody or done anything real, robbed a bank or something like that, but if we have one little sin, one thought that's evil, one thought of jealousy, we haven't treated our neighbor as we should, we have one speck of sin, and God says you're guilty of all. And then he goes on and he says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. That's not just physical death. That is part of it because that's why people die, is because of sin. If they didn't have sin, they'd live like Adam and Eve. You could live forever. But when sin entered in, so death came by sin. See, and so because of sin, we die. We may be a disease or something like that, but it's sin that brings it to pass. We may die physically, but spiritually, when we have Jesus, we never die. You see, we have a physical life and a spiritual life. And the Lord Jesus says that when we receive him, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never die. See, and that means they won't die spiritually. We may die physically, and the spirit and soul will go to be with the Lord. But at that great day when Jesus comes again, called the rapture of the church, and he's going to raise all of those who died in the Lord, Old Testament, New Testament. And then those of us who are alive, we're still living when Jesus comes again, the first phase of his second coming. And then we are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And this mortal body becomes immortal, and it becomes like the resurrected body of all of those around us, and we're with the Lord forever. Well, that walk starts just the minute I accept Jesus. And if you've never done that, you want to walk with the King, you want to walk with Jesus, you take him into your heart, ask him, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. And then something else happens when I walk with the King, and that is that I'm safe. I'm safe and secure. And I know that as long as I live, and I don't know how long I live, but I know that the Lord Jesus will keep me safe, that he'll watch over me, and that I will not be lost because with Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. And when he says they will never perish, he means they'll never die. They'll never go into hell because they belong to me. And he seals us with the Holy Spirit. He puts the Holy Spirit within us so that we belong to him and we're sealed and where the King's seal is upon us. And no man can break it and Satan can't break it. Nobody can break it. Read the Romans chapter 8 and we're told chapter 10 and chapter 8 and 10 and how it tells us, oh, this wonderful Lord keeps us and nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to lay awake at night and say, oh, I wonder if I'm going to heaven. I wonder if I'm really saved. You know, I went through that when I was a young boy. I accepted the Lord when I was 10. And then about when I was in grade school, maybe, I don't know, 13, 14, long somewhere in there, I kept worrying, man, did I say the right words? And did I really have faith? And did I have another faith? And I wondered and I wondered and I wondered. And one time a neighbor man, a farmer, he asked me if I was a Christian. And I said something like, well, I think so, but I'm not sure. And that he gave me that verse, it's my life verse, John 5:24. And it settles all questions whether you have enough faith, whether you're really going to go to heaven or not, or whether you just can't wait and you have to wait till you find out. John 5:24 just tells us, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And that faith can be just like a little tiny, as a mustard seed. It can be like that old curtain we used to have, the old shades. And sometimes it'd get worn, there'd be a little hole in that shade. And the sun would shine, that ray of shine through, just blazing through. Well, whether it was a half an inch open or whether it was a pinpoint, it was that same wonderful sunlight, that beautiful sunlight. And when we accept Jesus, we have a little faith or a lot of faith. It doesn't matter. We call on his name and we're saved and we walk with the King. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus then, because he's our King, he helps us along the way and guides us along the way. And we're going to find a lot of things. We don't know what we're going to face as we come into life, but we know that he's going to lead us. He's going to walk with us. And we have that song, I don't know what holds tomorrow, but I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Jesus Christ knows all the way we're going. You know, when I was out on the farm, we used to have a lantern. I never liked the darkness, and I still don't like the darkness, and I get that from my mother. I don't like the darkness. And so this, out on the farm, we had a lantern, and it was it had a handle on it. And you carried along, it had kerosene, it had a wick in it, and that lantern, and it would make a circle of light around your feet. But you couldn't see, then it was dark all the rest. I'd go down to the barn or come back from the barn or going after wood or something, I don't know. But I carry that lantern. And that light was just enough so I could see where I was standing. But I took another step, and then that light went ahead of me, went with me. And as I stepped, the light stepped. And I was always in the light all the way to the house because of that lantern. And that's the way God leads us. He doesn't show all that we're going to do, all we're going to face and have to pass through. But he just said, step at a time, step at a time. I'm 97 years old. I don't even know yet what my days are. Whether they're few or several, I don't know. But just each day, well, I lived all my life that way. That's the way you have to live. You can't see through tomorrow. But you don't need to, because Jesus sees. And this wonderful King, we walk with him. Every step of the way, he leads us and guides us. And then as we travel along, the Lord begins to deal with us. And it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, in Hebrews 12, verse 6. And so God tells us now when we accept the Lord, and when we take him as our Savior and we walk with the King, he deals with us and he chastens us. And here in Hebrews, the writer says, he scourgeth every son that he receives. Every child he scourgeth. That is, he chastens us. He has to spank us. He has to deal with us. And he does it in love. And it's because he wants us to be like him. And we all have that. We all need working on. And none of us are perfect. And we'll really never be perfect till we get to heaven. But we're in the process where God is working on us. And I see a little sign one time. It says, don't judge me yet. I'm not done. He's working on me. Well, that's what he does. So you're going to be chastened. Now, three things can happen when you're chastened. One of three things. The first thing that happens is that you get mad. You're like a spoiled child. And something doesn't come your way and something doesn't go just the way you think it should. And so you're upset and you're mad as a wet hen. And then so what do? You're mad at God. And but the writer says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. It could be said, don't be angry when the Lord punishes you or deals with you. Don't get angry, see. I think of back over my ministry, so many different things. And I remember one instance where a lady would just not go to church. And I called on her. And she says, I'll tell you why I'm not going to church, and I never will. I'm done with God. And that was in the 30s when we lost their farms. And she says, we always gave 10% to the Lord. And we did the best we could. And we lost our farm, and I'm done with God. And as far as I know, she died that way. Well, you want to know something? We lost our farm too. And my mother and I prayed that we wouldn't lose that farm. And it says in Matthew, if two of you are gathered, if you agree on anything, I will do it. And the two of us were enough, and we prayed together. I remember praying together. We wouldn't lose our farm, and we lost our farm. And I remember my mother says, Harold, I don't understand that, but I know God is God and God is right. And what we were doing is this. God says, Jesus says, I'll answer your prayers. If two or three have asked my prayer, if it be according to my will. We have to have God's will. It'd be crazy otherwise. Here, for instance, here's two football teams. They're both Christian colleges. Love the Lord, both praying to win, and they've got to pray to play each other. What are they going to do? Tie every time they play? So you pray, we hope we can win the win team, wins the game, but thy will be done. So don't get mad with God. Because when you get mad with God, he's not going to die. He's going to be there. But you're going to die, and you're going to die in some awful sins. The second thing we do, we're told, is when the Lord deals with us, he says, do not faint. He says, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. So when God deals with us, some people faint. They just give up. They quit. I've had people quit church. Things didn't handle the way they should. Just didn't work out the way they should. And I remember about a young man I read in California. And he was just starting out in life, and he had a peach orchard. And he put all of his money into that peach orchard. And he trusted the Lord. He loved the Lord. He tithed. But a frost came, and he lost his harvest. And he quit church. And the old pastor went and talked to him, and he told him the story why he quit church. And the old pastor said, my friend, God doesn't settle his accounts and everything the first of the month. You just trust the Lord and lean on the Lord. He'll carry you through. And then the last way it tells us is that we just to take up, he says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let it rather be healed. And so he's telling us when you walk with the Lord and he deals with you and he has to kind of talk to you and maybe have to spank you a little bit or something like that. One time my mother washed my mouth out with soap. She only had to do it once, only once. She had homemade soap, and they made soap out of lye and out of lard and out of ashes. And that was powerful stuff. And one time, I don't know if I used slang or if I sassed her, I don't remember, but she washed my mouth out. And so when that happens, then we just say, we don't say, oh, I'm going to give up. No, we straighten up our ways and we learn our lessons and we walk with the Lord and walk with the King. It's all part of the process. And I'm going to tell you again, you're going to have those times. They're going to come upon you because of whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And then this wonderful King gives me true happiness. That means true happiness means joys that will not go sour. They're lasting joys. They're true happiness. They're true joy and so forth. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus and we walk with him, we'll get a peace. I talked to a man, and he saw one of our showings at the movie of the Heart of a Shepherd Boy. And he says, I'm 70 years old. And he said, I prayed that prayer in the service. I asked Jesus into my heart. And he says, I have a peace that fast, that quick. And you may have, you're not going to get goosebumps. I don't know if you had goosebumps, pimples or what, but I know you'll have a peace and a joy that the world can't give. And see, that's what this poor world is doing. They're trying to find joy. They're trying to have happiness. And so they have all kinds of parties and they do all kinds of evilness and they do all kinds of sin. And then they end up and they got and have nothing but a hangover or a headache. And there isn't any joy into this world. There isn't any real joy unless you have Jesus. And when we have Jesus, and I'll tell you why. It is because we are made, all of us, every one of us, we are made with a compartment or a part of us that yearns for God. And so we try to fill that yearning for God. Some people use idols and they worship those fence posts, or they worship hewn idols, or they worship the sun, or the reptiles. They worship. Why do they all worship something? Because they're made to worship God. But the only way that'll fill that one void, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God can fill that, because we're made for God. Man was not made by bread alone. We're not to live by bread alone. We are a spirit and a soul and a body. And so we take care of that body with fleshly things and the things of the earth and material things. But that spirit and soul has to be Jesus in the heart. And that's what Jesus says. I want to come into your heart and I want to give you peace. And that wonderful peace will help us because we'll be at contentment. It's like the psalmist. And David says that, that he leadeth me beside the green pastures. He restoreth my soul. And then he says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. My dad always had sheep. And we had sheep in the depression years when nothing was raised. And those sheep used to try to graze a lot of time at night to find a morsel to eat. It was so hard. It was so terrible. But if that sheep was sitting, lying down in the pasture, that means they're content. They're content. And they're lying at the pastures. And that contentment, well, Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And when you walk with the King, when you have Jesus, you walk with the King, you walk with Jesus, you will have contentment. You may be rich and you may be poor, but you'll be content. And Paul says, I know how it is to be rich and I know how it is to be poor. I know how to have a lot and I know how to have nothing. And he says, in whatsoever state I am content because he had Jesus. And maybe today you're looking for something. You don't know what it is. You think it's more money. You think it's popularity. You think that it's running with the crowd. You think it's having a party. You're looking for something. You're looking for Jesus and you don't know it. And right now Jesus is saying, I want to come into your heart and I want to give you peace and I want to give contentment. And I want to give you joy. And I want to help you in the trials of life. Because in this world, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so I want to come into your heart. And he says it like this. I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, I will come in. And so God is talking. And I'm not saying you're going to hear voices or anything. But you're just going to have a feeling, I really need Jesus. I know there's something missing in my life, and I want Jesus. And how do I have Jesus? It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And you says, how do you receive Jesus? And you do it by asking him, just praying. Pray with me now. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I will follow you. I'll forsake those sins the best I can. You won't be perfect, but you have to strive for it. And then thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get a hold of us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And what we'll do, we'll send you some literature. But we have something that you can do right now. You can get our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And on that website, it has salvation. And you get that, get to that salvation, and it takes you through those steps where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. And if you make that prayer, God will hear you. And the moment that you call on the name of the Lord, he says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, there are some people that think, and my old grandmother was like that. And I say, well, Grandma, I'll see you in heaven. And she says, I hope so. I hope so. She didn't have that real faith, see. She didn't know. She didn't have assurance. But this tells us, if you call in the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And the moment you accept Jesus, he that hath the Son hath life. You have everlasting life. And so you get on that website. You can get our story there. You can get a lot of the devotions there. And you can get our address because we need to have you to help us. You can get the new song. And we're going to talk about Almost a Christian. Are you almost a Christian? Or are you a Christian? Or do you know? And this Bible study will help you. And you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or as I've given it before, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we'd love to hear from those of you on shortwave radio. We just think about you and pray for you, and especially the persecuted church. We just would just love to hear from some of you, but I know you've got more important things to do than write to us. But if you can, you do that. Write to us. And in the meantime, we'll pray for you. And we'll pray that when the hard times come, and I'm going to tell you, friends, they'll come to all of us. God doesn't promise us health and wealth thing, that everything's going to be perfect if you walk with him. Jesus didn't have that kind of life. What kind of life did Jesus have? He said he didn't have a place to lay his head. The foxes have holes and the birds have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus didn't have a place to head. Talk about health and wealth to Jesus. Talk about the disciples, as far as we know. All of them died a violent death, were put to death, except maybe John, who lived to old age. So you see, you can't tell. And so you just come to Jesus, and he'll lead you all the way, and he'll give you peace, and he'll give you strength. And if you do that, if you could write to us, we'd love that. If you can help us in the work, we'd love that. But whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And so now we're going to close, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for the people in China and in Mexico, because we prayed, I think we prayed for China. We're going to pray for China. And then all of those who love the Lord, you join with me in praying for these brothers and sisters. They're part of our family. They belong to us. We belong to them, and we need to encourage them. So, dear Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the multitudes of people that opened their heart to you. We thank you that they came to you, Lord, and they're born again. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they'll be there forever and ever, and we'll see them in heaven. We pray for the shut-ins. We pray for those who are lonely. Pray for those who are on sick beds. Pray for the children, Lord, the beautiful children, that they'll open their heart to Jesus. We pray for the heart of the shepherd, that people will use it, Lord, to reach so many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it'll point the way, it'll show the way that they can have that wonderful Savior. And then, dear Lord, we'll give you all the praise, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So now remember, next week we're going to be talking about a sermon about the matter of abortion. And I hope that you'll all pray for that and be in prayer, so God will help us and lead us, and that'll be a blessing to God's name, and that it'll save some little children, precious children. So we thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your gifts. And we'll be looking for you next week. Always remember that God loves you no matter what your sin might be. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And God knows that I love you the best way I know how. And I'm trying to urge you and tell you how to come to Jesus. And I wish I could do a better job. But you get the message, and the Holy Spirit, you see, that wonderful Holy Spirit always picks it up, and he applies it to your heart. And no matter how poor the preaching, the blessed Holy Spirit works and will do his work and bless that word. So we give it all to him. And so we're going to look for you next week. You pray for us. We'll pray for you. And in the meantime, maybe the Lord will come. But whatever, we'll be here, Lord willing. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.